So one of the great things about being on a team is that you don't have to stand by yourself. You don't have to do things by yourself. And when you start to work together on things, sometimes your voices become so loud together or your strengths are so great when you're pushing in the same direction that it's really fun to be a part of a team. And right now we're in the middle of one of those moments where it's an exciting time to be a part of the team of Maywood because we're doing 21 days of prayer. And so this is a time when we're all saying, let's pray about the same thing, and let's even focus in the same way every day together. And so we have these little prayer prompts each day. They're only a paragraph or so a day. But if you're on our Facebook page, it updates every day with the daily prayer prompt. Or if you want to grab one of these, if you get fancy like Justin Williams, he's folded his all up so he could just like flip it around each day and see the prayer prompt. But the reason we do that is so we can all be lifting together, so we can all be pushing in the same direction or lifting our voices in the same direction. And our theme right now is to pray for each other, to lift each other up, to see what God can do when we stop just focusing on ourselves and we start asking for him to bless all of us. And so that's what the prayer emphasis is about. It's 21 days of prayer. And so if I can get this to work, we're still having some... If we can click over into the program, then I'll be able to control it, Corin, I think. So prayer emphasis is a great way to get involved with what Maywood is doing here. And so there's our 21 days of prayer. And if you want to really be an overachiever, we've also asked everybody to read the book of Ephesians each day and let that sink into your heart and guide your prayers. It's kind of a big commitment to read 6 chapters a day, but I think it'll change you if you stick with us through that time. So today, we're going to be talking a little bit about the book of Ephesians and about prayer. How does prayer actually work? You know, when we grow up in elementary school, we don't have a class on prayer, and so sometimes we don't really even know how to do it. So today, we're going to get kind of a sneak peek from Bob and then from me about how do you guys use the Bible, how do you use prayer in your own life? So, Bob, take us through how you use prayer, what you do each day.
Let's do that. Okay. Jake was talking about a team. Anybody watching the Olympics yet, other than me? All five of you. Okay, several of you. Last night, I watched men's gymnastics, which I'm not a fan, but it was interesting. What was most interesting is what you just said. So here's a guy who's on the rings, and he's doing incredible things with his body. And so we saw that, and we, oh, yeah, that was great. But then they cut away in sort of like the little space when you're waiting on the next competitor, and they showed his team. And it gets me kind of choked up. Those guys were over there going, ah, ah, I mean, they were loud, and they were yelling at him, and he was getting right to the end, and they go, now finish, you know, whoa, you know. And I'm thinking, that's to get a medal that will go somewhere, all right? We have a medal that will never, ever fade away, never tarnish, nobody will ever be able to pick it up and carry it off. You won't sell it on eBay after you get tired of it. I mean, we have one. And what we're talking about today is the team cheering on the team, all right? And the best way you can cheer on the team is to pray for the team, okay? And so I don't know how many of you all have a prayer list, but I'm pretty passionate about this. In fact, I'm really passionate about this. I would love for you all to have a list of people that you pray for, written down in a journal. I keep mine on my computer in a program, but somewhere have a list of people that you are praying for, focused. And then I would encourage you to not only do that, but I would encourage you to pray scripture over those people. And that's Jake and I are getting ready to do that. We want to demonstrate how that can be done. It will be your way. Everybody does it their own way. But here's how I do it, and we're gonna do a little back and forth thing. How I do it is I first get in the zone with the Lord, okay? And so I find a place where I know I'm talking to God. Sometimes my words are just this, and God's saying, Bob, you can really do better than that, okay? But there are times when he and I, we're connected. You all know how that works? I'd encourage you to go to the place where you're connected with God. And then bring the names of the people on your list. Now, I've got a pretty long list, so I can't bring them all every day. So I bring some of them, and I've got a group of people I pray for. You find your own list. Start making it, all right? And just bring those people before God, and then you can do what we're going to do. So let's start off with this passage in Ephesians. So Jake's going to read it, and I'll talk about it. How's that?
Yeah, so this is a prayer that Paul gives over the church in Ephesus, but Bob will take scripture a lot of times and pray it. So I'm going to read a verse, and Bob's going to tell us how he would pray it. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better.
So when I pray, I know that all I need to do is state what somebody needs. I don't have to tell God how to fix somebody's problem. Isn't that interesting? He really doesn't need my advice on how to fix things. And we're going to talk about this in a minute. He does want us through prayer to open the door. And so I will read this, and then I will say, Lord, my friends, this is my list of 10 people or 15 people or maybe 25 people that I've read before God. And it's really crazy. I have to have them written down. God knows them all. You know, he just wants me to mention their name. So I've mentioned their name, and I say, God, I pray that you will give them. They need a spirit, your spirit in them, that is wise, that is a spirit of revelation so that they will know, they need to know you better, okay? My friends, my family, my wife, her husband, our kids, our grandkids, our church, Jake and Chrissy, we need the Spirit of God to help us know him better, okay? That's longer than normally how I do it, but I'm sort of explaining it.
Next verse goes on to say, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people.
Amen. And I could talk a long time on that, but Jake's going to talk, so I'm going to give you a break. Here's what I say. God, my friends need hope, and they need to know what you have done for them. They need that.
And God's incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength.
Right. God, my friend, needs your power.
The mighty strength God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated Christ at his right hand in the heavenly realms.
God, my friends on this list need to know where Jesus is seated.
Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come.
Father, my friends need to know that as you are seated high, they need to know their position beneath you.
And God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church.
This is a great prayer for Jake and Bob. When you're praying for us, pray. God, they need to know that Jesus is the head and they're part of the body. It's a great thing to pray for the leaders in the church. They need to know that Jesus is the head. He is the object of our affection, not some plan, not idea. Jesus is the one. They need to know that. You can pray that for your friends who are maybe out in the world who've not even thought about ever coming to church. God, they need to know who you are, okay? One day they are. So they need to know ahead of time, right? Okay?
Which is Jesus' body, talking about the church, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
And I pray this, Lord, for everybody reading Ephesians, because when you read about the fullness of Jesus, help us understand it. All right?
Okay, so earlier, Bob, you were talking about how prayer opens the door.
Right.
Where are you getting that idea
from? All right, Revelation 3:20. Let's look at it. It's a great verse. So it says, Jesus says to us, I stand at the door and knock. What in the world is that? If you have a burden for somebody, if you are praying today for somebody, Jesus is knocking at your heart for that person, okay? So whenever you have an urge to pray, it's not that you thought one day, hey, I think I'm going to pray. It was Jesus is knocking at your heart. He wants to come in, all right? He wants to come into your life or to somebody else's life. So he says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, the best way to hear the voice of God is to read the Bible, okay? And so if you read it and then you pray it for other people, you are taking his word for somebody else's life, okay? So it's not just your own best wishes. I started praying the Bible. In fact, I have a hard time praying without my Bible because when I'm not using the scriptures, I am so full of self. My prayer is all about me and my problems and my worries and my fears and my issues and my this and my that. But when I take the Bible and I put a prayer list with it, it gets beyond me to somebody else. And what's really funny is I instantly feel better, okay? So he knocks at our heart's door. That's the prayer list. There's somebody on that prayer list that God put there. And then he gives us his word. If you hear my voice and open the door, prayer is just opening the door. So we open the door. Lord, come in. Okay? And then he says, and I will come in. I don't have to tell God what to do. I don't have to help God do his job. It's very important. My prayers don't have to help God do his job. My job is to open the door. I just saw Glenn come in the back door. And if I were holding the door for Glenn, I would not say, oh, thou most wonderful Glenn Martin, please enter the door now. We need you. Oh, God, how we need you. I just open the door. And that's all you have to do in prayer. Glenn says, man, I'm not going to do that again. When you're praying, you just open the door. You don't have to help him. So you have a list. Don't forget it with my craziness. You have a list. All right, that is something that God has put on your heart. You have his voice, which is his word, saying, pray this for my friends. And then you just simply open the door. Lord, come on in. And guess what? That's all you have to do, because the rest is in his barn. Okay, so you've laid it in his lap. It is his responsibility from then on out. Can I say that again? It is his responsibility. Now, I went through a long description in the early service. I'm not going to bore you with it again, but let me just tell you this. Stay with it. He doesn't act on our timetable. He acts on his. But stay with it. Try this out. See what will happen. It'll be good for you, all right? Jake, why don't you take us deeper in this prayer?
So if you guys had the pleasure of being at Sunday school this morning right before the service, if you guys discussed something in your class or in your group, you probably saw this truth that you can both read the same thing, or a group of people can read the same piece of scripture, and God can teach different things to different people. And so like when we're down to Sunday school class down in the fellowship hall at that table, everybody's getting different things out of the same passage. And that's one of the awesome things about the Bible. It can teach any person right where they're at. God can use it to teach them. So Bob and I were reading the same passage of scripture, studying it, and yet we came away with different things from it. So the way that this chapter, Ephesians 1, has affected my prayer this week is it's changed me in a few different ways. I want to share that with you guys. The first one is this thought of symptoms. So this guy right here, he's got all the symptoms of flu. You know, you can see all that stuff. And normally, we like to just get rid of symptoms. Sometimes we don't like to get down to the actual problems that cause the symptoms. Okay, so my sister was like that. I can remember when I was younger, my sister telling me that her car started making this noise, and so she just turned the radio up. So, and then she didn't worry about it until she couldn't turn the radio up loud enough to overcome the noise. Well, as you might imagine, like, that didn't work out well for her car because she was just treating the symptom. She said, oh, there's a weird noise. Well, that's a symptom of a problem, and you could just cover that up. Or if you had a major injury and you just tried to cover up the pain but not actually heal whatever the injury was, then you're not going to do yourself any favors in the long run. A lot of times in life, we're really good at this with other people, of pointing out all the symptoms of sin in their life. You know, we can point at someone else and say, like, oh, they're not a good worker, or oh, they're so immature, or they're so angry, and we might think, God, please help, you know, this guy to be nicer to his wife, or help this person to stop yelling at them, and we're really good at pointing at the symptoms and telling God, like, fix this person and these symptoms. But if you noticed in verse 17, when I read that earlier, when Paul starts his prayer for the church in Ephesus, he says that he prays that God would give them the Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that they could know God better. Because see, all these things are symptoms, and most of our sin that rubs other people the wrong way or that rubs us the wrong way, it's symptoms of what's really going on inside of us. What we really need, the cure that we need, is to know God better. If someone's angry all the time, maybe it's because there's a bitterness in them. But if they knew Jesus' forgiveness in their own life, if they really faced that every day, it'd be hard for them to be so bitter, and then it'd be hard for them to be so hateful. So instead of just praying, God, help this person not to be hateful, you could start praying, help this person to know you better. And so if you see some symptom in someone's life, some problem in someone's life, you don't have to just pray for the symptom. You can start to pray, God, help them to know you better. Help them to connect with you better. Instead of just, God, help this person to be more patient, you can say, God, help this person to get quiet space alone with you today and to have a peaceful time with you today so they can maybe be more patient because they're more full of the Holy Spirit. So this idea of instead of just looking at people's symptoms or our own symptoms, see that our ultimate need is for God. And so a lot of times that's what we can pray for other people. God, help this person to connect with you better. Second thing that stuck out to me, it actually reminded me of a story from my youth. So I grew up in church, and if you guys know me very well now, you can probably imagine me as a 14-year-old being a fairly nerdy kid, and you would be right. So, but I went to this church that was a very affluent place, a lot of rich people there, which meant rich youth kids there, and there were a lot of popular kids there, and I was this nerdy kid. So I remember being at a youth thing one night and sitting at the bleachers in the back of our little youth building, sitting there all by myself, and like everyone else was kind of in little cliques, and I felt like I didn't have anybody to talk to, and it's just, you know, kind of, ooh, you know, like poor me. And that's how I'm feeling at first. Well, I was a Christian, though, and so when you're not feeling good, what do? Well, it's a good idea to pray. And so I just start talking to God about this. This whole night's kind of over to me already. Like, it's just starting, but it's like I'm already in a bad mood. So start talking to God about, like, this night's not going to go well for me, so, like, what do you want me to do? Like, it's kind of a bust, you know, so I'll give it to you. You know, it's not, you know, not overly generous on my part.
Highly spiritual.
Yeah. But oftentimes, we know this, don't we, though? Sometimes we come to God and we say, all I've got is junk, so I'll give it to you. And God will work with that. If you say, my whole life's a mess, but I'll give it to you, God, God will say, well, I'm glad you finally saw that it's a mess. Said, like, let's do something. So God was like, okay, you're finally done with trying to just take care of yourself. Like, I can work with that. So as soon as I stopped praying, I looked up because I had this new thought that God had given me of, instead of thinking, who can I talk to? Like, who's the clique that I could fit in with? Started to look around and think, who else in the room isn't having a good night? And over the course of that night at youth, Joe, this other kid who was there, was going through something really, really hard, and I was able to sit and talk with him about this chapter in Psalms that fit with what he was going through, and I was able to really help him through something he was going through with God, and we became closer. I don't know that we necessarily became friends, but God was able to use me when I gave that moment to him. And what I couldn't see right then exactly was like that was kind of pastoral care, the same sort of stuff I have to do a lot now here at Maywood, like now that I'm a pastor. But like when I was in youth group just trying to fit in, I wasn't necessarily thinking about what my job would be when I was 31. I didn't have any idea what God had in store for me. But God saw a lot of opportunity to develop skills in me even at a young age. So God knows what he has in store for us. And the middle of Paul's prayer, he says, I pray that they would know the hope that we have in God and that their eyes would be open to our glorious inheritance in the saints. So what he's saying there is that God has a plan for you. There's something to be hopeful for in your life. That God has a kingdom and you have a place in that kingdom and you're an heir to that kingdom. And so you might not be able to see all the things God wants for you, and the people around you might not be able to see it, but you could start to pray for yourself and for others. God, open their eyes to have the hope. Open their eyes to start to see the things you want to give them, to start to see the people they could be. Because I was a little freshman in high school, and I started to realize, like, wow, I know some things about the Bible, and other people are starting to come to me and ask me for help with their crises, that started to lead me kind of on the path that led right to here. Like, God has a lot to show you and show each of us, but we need to have open eyes to it. So that's something else you can pray. The final thing I want to talk to us about is kind of the foundational element of Christianity, I would say. So what is the thing that you have to believe to be a Christian? There might be a couple of things here, but one ultimate thing I would say you have to believe to be a Christian is you have to believe that there was a man 2,000 years ago who was beaten and bled a ton, and then he was nailed to a cross by a bunch of guys who were experts at torture and killing people, and he was left there for hours and hours and hours and hours until he died. And these guys weren't just like modern paramedics who just, you know, feel your neck to see if you're dead or not. They're like, oh, he looks like he's dead. Well, let's make sure he's dead. Let's stab him with a giant spear and see what happens. So they do that. What happens is a bunch of blood and water come out. The medical reason for that is because Jesus, I guess, obviously you guys know I'm talking about Jesus. So Jesus' heart had surrounded with fluid because of all the pressure he's under, and that had all burst. Okay, so he's got literally like a burst heart. He's not breathing. His heart can't beat anymore. He's bled all of his blood basically out. They take him down off the cross. They know that he's dead. They put him in a tomb. He's there Friday night all through the night. Sun comes up Saturday morning. If you ever sat and watched the sunrise, it takes a long time. He's there all through the day. The sun sets. He's there all through the night. The moon rises. The moon sets. The next day, he got up alive, ate with his disciples, talked to his disciples. He rose from the dead. Now, when we say as Christians that we believe that, we're saying that we believe something that no scientist could ever like just point to, like, oh, here's how it happened, or explain it. You can't observe that anywhere in nature. Like, that is impossible from what we see and touch. And that's the definition of faith, is to be able to make something you're saying, I'm sure of this, even though I can't see it, even though I can't touch it or explain A, B, C, D of it. So when you say that you're a Christian, you're saying, I believe in something that's more powerful than I could ever understand, something that's a bigger thing than me. And so that's the heart of Christianity, is that belief. But that power is what Paul prays for the church. He doesn't just say, help them to be a little bit nicer when they go to work tomorrow, or help them to have a little bit more patience with their family, or help them to be a little bit more self-control so they can fit in with society. What he prays is that they may know the exact same power that rose Jesus from the dead, because that power is available to Christians. And so this power, this way bigger than anything we could explain, is available. So when you're thinking about people's problems, sometimes we pray these really little prayers about, like, God, please help this person to just do this really small thing. And we forget that we, as Christians, have access to this power that's so much bigger than these little tiny things we pray for. It's the same God who rose Jesus from the dead is listening to your prayer. And so you got to think with that scope of, God, help my friend, or help this person at church, and you can ask for big things because God's a powerful God.